Thank you. It is a real privilege and an honor to be with you again, to be able to preach the gospel. There's no greater calling, there's no greater joy than preaching the word of God and reaching lost souls. I mean, that is a delight to me. I love it. It is my life. You know, preaching the word is my life. Living a Christian life is the only way to live, and that's how I want to live each and every day. I come up short every day. I'm not all that I want to be or should be. I'm nowhere near the Christian that I'd love to be. But I tell you, I want to press towards the mark. I want to be like Paul and forgetting those things which are behind me, forgetting about yesterday and pressing towards the mark. That's the only thing I want to do, is just to keep pressing forward and not look back. There's nothing to look back to. It's all about going forward and helping winning the lost and being a best Christian that I could be and being the best preacher I could be. There's a shortage of real preaching. There's a famine in the land, not of bread and water, but of the hearing of the words of God. And I want to be somebody that tells the truth and really lays down the Bible as it is. And it's a spiritually given book. Spiritually given must be spiritually discerned. You can't just pick up this word and read it and understand it. You must be spiritually discerned. You must have the spiritual discernment on the inside. You can't just pick it up and think you're going to know it. You can't just pick this up and read it and study it and think that you're going to get anywhere with God. If you're not saved and born again, He can't teach you in His Word. He can't guide you. But I'm thankful to be saved and born again. I'm glad someone told me the truth. I'm glad I was privileged enough to be born into a family that went to church and been born into a real family and a real church. I'm thankful for that. I mean, I can't thank the Lord enough just for giving me a place to go to where I can hear the Word of God and really be dealt with and saved. I mean, that's just a privilege in itself, because I look around and I see all the so-called churches around about. There's a so-called church in every corner. I mean, everywhere you look, there's a new one being built, or there's one that's been there for years and years, and they're everywhere. And it's so much confusion out there, so many different doctrines, and people are confused. They don't know which place to go. They don't know what denomination to believe, and they get confused, and then they get hardened, and then they don't want to go anywhere. They don't want to hear any preaching because they don't understand. But I'll tell you, if you go by the Word of God, and if you get into a real Bible-believing church, one that's going to preach to you about your sins, one of it, most of all, it's going to preach to you about Jesus, about a Savior who died for you. He loves you. I'll tell you, He loves you more than you will ever understand and ever comprehend. That's why He loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loved you enough to give His own Son, to become the Son of Man, and yet He was the Son of God, and He died for the sins of the entire world. Freely He gave His life on that cross, and He paid the price for sinners. He paid your sin debt. In the beginning, man fell to sin, and so there had to be a supreme, perfect, complete sacrifice, and Jesus paid it all. He gave His life freely, left the splendors of heaven, left the glories of heaven, came down into a sin-cursed world, a vile world, a wretched world, full of anguish, full of turmoil. You look and think about Jesus' life, what He had to go through, all the suffering He went through, not just physically, but mentally, and just all the pain and anguish in the mind, just physically, not just physically, but in the mind He went through. All the people that doubted Him, all the religious people that were just thronged Him left and right all the time, asking Him questions, trying to find fault in Him, trying to pick at His words, trying to use His own words against Him, but yet they were wrestling with the wrong one. They didn't realize they were talking to God in flesh. They didn't realize they were talking to the one that gave the Word of God, that really was the Word of God in flesh. He was the lawgiver. They forgot all about it. They saw Him. They thought they knew the Word of God. These Pharisees, they were religious folk. They thought they knew it all about the Bible. And I see people like that today, the religious folk. They know everything about everything. Just ask them. Oh, they'll tell you all about it. That's how these religious folks were back in the days of Jesus when they were Pharisees. They came and they thought they knew the law. They thought they knew the Old Testament. And they may have knew what it said. They could probably quote it, but they couldn't tell you what it meant exactly. And I say that because they had the lawgiver right in front of them. It was prophesied about in Isaiah, about the Messiah would come, and a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son. They'll call His name Emmanuel. And that happened, you see. That came forth, and yet they still denied Him. They still rejected him. They still didn't believe he was the Messiah. They were too puffed up. They were too arrogant. They didn't want to see it. That was the problem. And that was my problem. I thought about all that. And then I thought about myself. When I was studying those scriptures, I thought, that's exactly what I thought. I thought I knew better before I got saved. And that's the predicament this world is in today. We always think we know best. And we don't mean to sometimes, but we think we know better than God, the one that created us, the one that gives us every single breath, the one that gives us all the blood in our bodies that pumps, this heart that pumps the blood through the body. It's a miraculous thing. We take it lightly because we just take another breath and we don't think anything about it. Our brains work how our hands and our feet move. Our brain just controls it all and it tells our feet to move and we just walk on down the street. But you think about it, you damage that brain, you damage something in your body, and all of a sudden, you can't figure out what to do. I mean, if your brain goes bad, then it's over with, and that can happen to any of us. We are feeble creatures. I mean, we are just living on our last leg, if you please. I mean, you don't realize it until you get saved and born again, and God enlightens your eyes, and you get to see a glimpse of it, how frail and how feeble that we are. Especially when we're young. I remember being a lot younger than I am now, just maybe 15 years ago, and I just thought I was Superman. I mean, that's what you think. When you're in your teenage years, and especially in your early 20s, if you're not saved, you think you're Superman. You think you just have many years ahead of you, and you very well may. But yet, there's plenty of people in their teenage years dying, just randomly. All of a sudden, they die of a heart attack, or they get in a bad car accident. And in their mid-20s, they're having problems all the time today. And I'll tell you, it's just because we live in a sinful body. These bodies are weak, and we have to be prepared to die, prepared to meet the Creator that created us, that bought us and purchased us with His own blood. I'll tell you, we're going to have to give an account to what we do in this life. And if you've ever heard the word of God, you need to repent. You need to see yourself as lost. I didn't do that. I heard the word of God. That's what it takes in the first place to be saved. You must see yourself as lost. You must hear the good preaching. You must hear the word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't get in unless you hear the word of God, and you can't get in unless you believe that word and repent of your sins. Somebody's got to tell you about Jesus. Somebody's got to tell you, because there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only one that can save you. He's got the saving power. He's got the keys of death and hell, and He's the only one that can redeem you and bring you out of the pugmire of sin and help you with your fallen estate. He's the only one that can help you. I don't care where you go or who you go to. If you don't come to Jesus like you are, knowing you're a hell-bound sinner, then you won't get in. If you can't be open and honest about yourself and see yourself as a sinner and poor, weak, and needy, then there's no hope for you, my friend. But I didn't have any of that either. Before I got saved, I thought I had it figured out. I said, Lord, I want to live a little while. You know, I wanted to be saved. I knew being a Christian was the right thing to do and getting my sins forgiven. My pastor told me about a man called Jesus that will redeem me, and he would save me from my sins, and I would go to heaven when I die instead of going to hell. He told me that I had a spirit within me, a soul that is there, and it's dead in trespasses and sin. And if I don't get it quickened and made alive, if I don't have the light within me, Jesus, then I'll never make it into heaven. I knew those things, and I heard those things, but yet I rejected it. That is everybody's reaction when they hear the word of God and it convicts their soul and they think to themselves, well, I don't need God. I got everything I need right now. I got money. I got a vehicle. I got a family. What else do I need? But don't think on those carnal things. Think about eternity, because your soul is going to live forever. Whether it's in heaven or hell, that's up to you. You get to make the choice. See, Jesus died and He paid the price for your sins. He went to hell for you already, so you don't have to go to hell. It is up to you. It is your choice. It is your free will. You don't have to serve Him. You don't have to come to Him. You don't have to repent. You don't have to bring a broken heart and a contrite spirit if you don't want to. You don't have to do anything. You can go on in your unbelieving ways and say, that man's crazy. That man's a fool. There's no God. But remember, the word of God says, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. You can do all those things, but one day you're going to wake up in a literal burning hell, and you're going to remember all those times you rejected God, all those times you blasphemed Him, all those times that you pushed Him aside. You'll remember that, and you'll see all those afar off, just like that rich man did. You know, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He saw Lazarus, that poor beggar that was at his gate year after year. That one he stepped over, wouldn't even give the man some crumbs from his table. Wouldn't even give him the leftovers. Wouldn't even give him the time of day. Wouldn't bring him in one of those many rooms he had in his house and say, "Here, won't you stay here and won't you get you a little something to eat?" He didn't have any time for that poor beggar. And that's just pitiful, and that's just a picture of what we have today. People are just so wrapped up and caught up in themselves, and they don't want to help nobody if it doesn't benefit them. But I tell you, the marks of a Christian, you'll want to help people. You'll want to be a light to people. And that's what I want to do. Before I got saved, the moment before I got saved, I didn't have that nature. I didn't have that heart within me. I had a decent way of thinking about people and trying to be nice to people. I had good upbringing, good teaching, and people that cared about me, so I knew what love was to a certain extent. But when I got saved and born again, my total nature changed on the inside. See, before, I had a swine's nature. You could fix me up, you can turn over a new leaf within me, and I can say I'm going to do right from now on, and I could do it for a little while, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a couple of months. But all of a sudden, that old swine's nature would rise back up and take over, and I'd go right back into wallowing in the slop, and the slop and the sins of Satan. I'd just go right back in them, and I couldn't help it. It was my nature. But you see, I had a changed nature. After I got saved, I said, "Lord, I'm tired of living this way." I remember pouring out my heart to Him, and I was broken. I mean, I was broke down. I thought my life was over. I thought I was going to die and go to hell, and that was good. I needed that fear. I needed to be shaken to the very foundation of my soul. And when I came to Him like I was, I said, "Lord, if it means dying on the spot right here as I speak, if it means dying but getting saved right before I die, then that's what I want. I do not want to die in this condition. I know where I'm heading if I don't get saved and born again." And when I said that and meant that with all my heart, that's when I got saved and born again, and immediately my nature changed. See, I didn't no longer have that swine's nature. He put a pure nature within me. And now I do want to help people genuinely. I want to study His Bible. I want to pray. I want to help somebody else. I don't even care about what myself or anything that I need. I want to help others. That's what I look for, is the need of others. And you can't have that unless you're saved and born again. And I'm thankful that I have it. I'm glad He gives everything that I need. I couldn't do it without Him, and I don't even want to try. I want Him to use me above everything else, and I want you to be saved and born again. Come to Him like you are, and I promise He will make a new creature out of you. My time is quickly gone. Pray for us. In Jesus' name, amen.